I want to remind you that we just take up an offering in the back. There's a bucket there if you want to contribute to the work of this church. And there's ways to give online. And that's how we pull our resources together and make this thing happen. So do that. We're going to move into our time of prayer now. It's been a weird week. You know, we should be here all cheering for the Chiefs. Yay. Things got, you know, kind of scary. Barry and Diana and I were down at the parade. We were in an office building watching and had to shelter in place. And we were watching the news from there, the same as a lot of you have were. And I know some other folks that were there. And it was a scary situation. And I kind of felt that feeling when almost a million people all got scared of the same thing at the same time. We're going to talk about loneliness today. And you know what breaks my heart is reading people say, that's it. I'm not ever going to a mass gathering again. And that's just another strike against community. And so I want to lift that up in our prayers this morning. And for the folks that were shot and families and recovering and stuff. But this prayer this morning is about loneliness. And I wanted to focus on you that are here, maybe you online too. This is from Grace and Prayers online, and it's a prayer for loneliness at church. We can't just assume everybody comes here and just feels all warm and fuzzy. Maybe you're feeling lonely this morning. So let's make these words our words as we pray together. Father, I am sitting in this beautiful church, surrounded by fellow worshipers, but I can't shake this overwhelming sense of loneliness in my heart. It's hard to admit, but I feel disconnected and isolated, even in the midst of all these people. I know you understand the depth of my emotions and the struggles I'm facing. You see me and you know my every thought and feeling. Right now, I need your comforting presence more than ever. Please draw near to me. Wrap your loving arms around me and let me feel your reassuring presence. Help me to find the courage to open up to others about how I'm feeling, to share my burdens, and to seek support from those around me. Guide me towards people who will understand and empathize with my loneliness, and may we find strength in each other's company. Lord, I ask for your divine guidance and wisdom to overcome this loneliness. Show me the path to form deeper connections with others and find a sense of belonging within this church community. I believe that you have a purpose for this season of loneliness in my life, and I trust that you will lead me through it, making me stronger and more compassionate along the way. Amen. Our scripture this morning is about a man who probably was experiencing some loneliness. This is Luke 19, 1 through 10. Hear these words. He entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So we're starting a new series. This is going to take us all the way up through Easter. And the name of the series is Where Real Life Meets Real Love. And we're going to be talking about some of the real life things we face. Busyness, division, scarcity, anxiety, inauthenticity, depression. And today we're going to talk about loneliness. And each of these, we're going to talk about how Christ leads us from that to something else. So we're talking about loneliness leading to community today. I want to just tell you how this phrase got assembled. Barry and I were at the Leadership Institute in the fall, and we were talking about how important it is for our church to be relevant in the world. And we started working with this idea of real life and real love. And so we're looking at this not just as a name of a sermon series, but as kind of a slogan, maybe even a vision for the church, that we want to be a place where people's real lives are affected by real love. That's even a definition of grace. So that's the overview of what we're talking about. Now, I want to talk about loneliness. Have you ever felt like the loneliest person in the world? If you have, then you're not alone. How's that for a mind-bending statement? But it's true. In 2023, last year, USA Today had a big article that said, we are experiencing a loneliness epidemic in our country. There are stats. 52% of people, so more than half of the people in this room, experience loneliness sometimes, often, or always. And here's the one that gets me. 50% of people now report eating all their meals alone. 57% of people eat all their meals alone. I think about that, actually. I've always thought about that. When I'm in a restaurant and I see somebody eating by themselves, I'm a hyper-empathetic person, so my heart goes out to them, and I think, maybe they're enjoying this, you know, because you can be alone and experience solitude, which is very healthy. I love solitude, just spending some time enjoying my own company and things like that, but maybe they're not. Maybe they're lonely. I almost want to invite them to come join our table, and then I think they could be very offended by that. So I think that's something that we have to address as a society, this idea of loneliness. Now, speaking of eating alone, Zacchaeus, that guy ate alone. I'm almost guaranteed, because he was a jerk. He was a tax collector. His whole life was based on selling out his fellow Jews and collecting as much money as he could and in taxes and giving it to Rome. And whatever he could get out of people above what they owed, he kept for himself. He was a slime ball, a short slime ball. I picture Danny DeVito. So he had no friends. And I do know what that feels like. I've experienced that a couple times in my life. I remember my parents moved in the middle of my fifth grade year. And I went to this new town, just shoved into a classroom with people I didn't know. Nobody would talk to me. Nobody would interact with me. I was smart, so I would be taken out and do different reading things. That just made me even more isolated. It was a tough time. I look back at that time and I realize I had it bad. I was lonely. I remember another time, a job I had. I had no peers. It was just me working with this population of people. And I had nobody to interact with, nobody to talk with. I had no joy from that experience. I felt totally alone. Even though I was with people quite a bit of time, I just felt that empty sense of disconnection. And I think there's kind of a range of loneliness, and maybe you fall somewhere on that range sometimes. You know, from feeling like you're missing being with people a little bit to this sense of desperation, that kind of loneliness, desperation. I want you to think in your mind a number between 1 and 10. 1 is, I feel a little lonely. And 10 is, I'm desperate. What's your number right now? Oh, maybe it's possible that you aren't even on the scale. I don't feel lonely at all. It's different things that cause loneliness. Isolation, you know, in a new place, or maybe feeling rejected, or maybe you're the one pushing people away and being lonely. Or maybe it's not anybody doing anything, you're just busy. You're working your life, you're taking care of your kids and interacting with people, then you get at the end of the day and you're like, did I connect with anybody today? Did I really connect? We have to deal with that. John Acuff, Stacy actually sent me this quote. John Acuff is like a leadership guy. And he had this quote that I thought was interesting about how we combat loneliness. And it gave a little twist on it. He said, the biggest lie loneliness tells you is I should spend some time alone trying to figure out why I'm so lonely. The only fail-proof long-term cure for loneliness is community. It's not free. Community costs vulnerability, bravery, and time, but it's always worth that price. Bravery and vulnerability. That may be what it takes. Have any of you ever watched the show Alone on TV? All right, there's my peeps. It's a reality show. I don't like reality shows, but this one just kind of grabbed me because what it is they take 10 survivalists and they drop them in different places like Vancouver Island that's just thick forest and no people, no civilization, and they have just some basic survival gear, and they just have to go and live as long as they can. And they have to figure out how to fish or how to hunt. They have to build their own shelters, and whoever lasts the longest gets $500,000. So they're stuck there in this place, and they get there, and first they're all like, this is paradise. And it's all about solitude, enjoying solitude. But things get hard. Some of the folks go home because they're hungry. They're just not finding any food to eat. Some folks go home because they had a minor injury and they can't treat it, that kind of thing. But you know what causes a lot of folks to go home? Loneliness. It's not an easy show to watch because you're watching these people go through this process, and after 60 days or, you know, something like that, all they can think about is their family. And they're filming themselves out there, and you see them realizing how desperately they need human interaction. And a lot of these folks tap out and say, it's not worth it. I can't be alone anymore. Now, I've never experienced loneliness at that level. But I think Zacchaeus maybe experienced something pretty hardcore. He had deliberately forced himself to be alone and cut off. And something happened, though. I don't know what it was that happened. I think it's called grace. Does anybody remember the type of grace that happens before anything else when God taps you on the shoulder and says, hey, I'm here? Anybody remember the word for that? Prevenient. Prevenient grace. That's the Holy Spirit working before anything else. I think prevenient grace came to Zacchaeus, and it made him think, I need to do something about this. And what he went to do is go to see this Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus, who Jesus was, what he was about, and he went out and he climbed a tree. You want to talk about vulnerable and brave? That guy had to embarrass the heck out of himself to see Jesus. You know, this short guy climbing a tree so he can see, I'm sure people were pointing and laughing. But he had this desire for community, this need for it, that caused him to do that. And then you know what happened? He encounters Christ. He turns and he's looking for it, and there he sees it right in front of him is Christ. And Christ offers the strangest invitation. He says, Zacchaeus, I am coming to your house today. And I like to picture him saying, we're going to sit down so you don't have to eat alone today. And it changed Zacchaeus. That encounter, you remember what Jesus says? He says, salvation has come to this house because you too are a son of Abraham. You get what that means? You are also a son of Abraham. You're part of this community of children of God. And you just forgot that along the way. But you are. And I'm proof that you're part of it. And somehow this was a re-entry into community for Zacchaeus. Maybe there were some others eating there. But it was such a powerful thing, this re-entry into community, that he changed his whole attitude towards the community. I'm going to give half of what I own to the poor. I've cheated people. I'm going to pay them back four times. I mean, it's a really dramatic shift for him. At the center of it is this encounter with Christ. And so I believe that that can help all the lonely people. Believe me, I've had Eleanor Rigby going through my mind this week. All the lonely people. So I want you to picture something. Picture us getting in a big circle and we're holding hands. Picture that in your mind. Us, the community of believers, we're standing in this room and we're holding hands. Now picture that. I want to ask you, in your picture in your head, are we facing inward? Or are we facing outward? My natural inclination is to face inward. You know, here we are with each other. But I don't think that's what Christ calls us to do. Christ calls us to be in community with each other, but facing outward. We're supposed to be pointing outward into the world to expand our sense of community and to invite others in. I mean, we're supposed to do that. That's where this idea, real life, meets real love comes in. It's this movement of reaching folks who we aren't getting at. There's a dirty word that goes with that. It's called evangelism. And for some reason, it's become a dirty word for mainstream Protestants. It sounds like the evangelical church, which may be more conservative than we are, or more born-again, Christian-y, creepy kinds of stuff. But it's what... it's what we're called towards. We have a group that started meeting. Raise your hand if you're part of the InReach team. There's folks from this service and from the other services. We've been meeting together and talking about how can we connect with people who have drifted away from the church, or people that have never come to church. And so we're doing InReach and some outreach too. And we're talking about ways to do that. And what we're really talking about is extending the invitation to community, to people who may be hurting, to people who are lonely and may or may not even realize it, who are missing something in their lives. So there's different things we're talking about. Let me tell you some of the things the InReach team is planning for this year. One thing is to start four new groups for women, four new small groups. Raise your hand if you are looking at starting one of those groups. Yeah, there's a couple folks that are here, others that aren't here. You know, that just small groups of women to connect with each other. That's cool. We're talking about having potlucks after this service every couple months. That sounds fun. I like a good potluck. I'll be the guy bringing the bucket of KFC. That's always my favorite at a potluck. We're talking about having movie nights for young families and outdoor concerts, supporting a parents' night out opportunity a couple times a year so young parents can have a break and go out and do something. We're talking about a financial literacy course so folks can get a handle on their finances. And you might be wondering, what about the men? If you've got four groups for women, well, the men are talking about going out for a hamburger and a beer. That's where we're going with that. Yeah, so that's getting right at it. So all that stuff is designed to reach people with real needs and offer community. And that is what we offer, not just in this service, but small groups, a Sunday school class, special events like Living Nativity and mission opportunities, all those things. They offer community, a place for people to know Christ and to know each other. Now, I want you to just take a second and talk with each other around you. How did you come to be part of this community? What was it that made you become part of this community? And I mean Grace Church and all things that Grace Church does. Just take a second and talk with each other. How did you get connected? I'd like to hear a couple examples. Anybody want to share how they got connected with church? How did you get connected to the church? Yeah. Okay, great. So you reached out and you got a response. That's good. Good. Others. Yeah. That's great. Great. Came to an event. That's great. Other. That's her idea. Anybody else? Good folks, good people. That's good. That's good. Wow, that's great. You got hired. Maybe that's our new evangelism push. That's great. You know the number one way folks get connected with a church community? Can you guess?
Other people invite
them. They're invited. Somebody invites them. And, I mean, Kyle obviously had some good connections there, but usually it's not the pastor. It helps when a pastor invites, but it's most powerful when somebody from the congregation invites somebody else. So I want you to picture in your mind somebody who you think might be a little bit lonely. You know, you wonder. Somebody that you work with, somebody in your family, somebody that you have some sort of relationship, even a just beginning relationship. Could you invite them to experience Christ? I guarantee it won't work most of the time if you go up to them and say, would you like to experience Christ? That can turn people off. But how about this? What if you invited them to come to an event or come to church? Hey, We got a great church, good band, good time. Come join us for church. You know what works? It's to not just invite them to church, but to say, and then we're going to go out for barbecue after church. Take them out for dinner. And it's not just inviting people to come in. You got to welcome them. Like you were talking about, you've got to be a community that is happy to see new people and takes the risk to welcome them. And you can't just do it one day. You actually have to form a relationship with a person to help them be part of a community. Jesus did that just like that. It takes some time for the rest of us to do it. I'm convinced that we are called as the body of Christ to offer community, not just to sit in it and soak in it. Although it's so helpful for us, you feed some of your loneliness pain by coming to be part of this church, but we got to offer that to other people. I love that idea of going out after church and sitting down at Jack Stack and having barbecue and just getting to know each other. I'm getting hungry just talking about it. But you notice how much of a theme that is in this sermon? Sitting down and eating together. How powerful that is. That sense of community that comes with that. Remember, 57% of people don't eat with anybody else. We come to this service every week and we eat together. How powerful is that? Amen.